And yours might be even snow-covered this morning. Good morning. Welcome to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here. And Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, ASE certified technician there at Lloyd's, is with us filling in for Dan. Good morning, Nick. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
And you too also. Good morning.
Yeah, nice to hear from you. Nick has, well, you've been at Lloyd's for a few years too, even when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, Dan was my first job was working for Dan when I was 15 years old at the old service station.
So about 5 years ago.
Some days it feels like about 50 years ago, but no, I think I've been here at Lloyd's a little over 20 years.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, Nick is often here on CCO Radio helping you out. If you have any issues with your personal vehicle, your car, your truck, your van, whatever the case may be, you want to call it in, your question, or text it in, because if you have to bring it in for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop, Nick will give you some idea of what might be ailing with that that car, truck, or van. So call it in or text it in. The same number applies, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Some folks, I'm thinking, Nick, might be on the road tomorrow. And I heard Al's news saying we could get 1 to 2 inches new snow tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like maybe late in the week again also.
Again, yeah. And I was thinking, I was bragging for years that my, and I maintain my snowblower. It's 24 years old, and I change the oil, and I change the spark plug, and I keep it in good shape, and it always starts in one pull. Well, guess what? We got dumped on the other day. No start.
No start.
No spark. It's not the plug. So I'm going to have to do a little research later. In the meantime, it was shoveling. Like, well, you have to do the same thing. You guys still have a plow, though, don't you, on at Lloyd's?
A little too much space, and we had quite a bit of snow, as you know, to around. But, yeah, I think a lot of people, luckily they can shovel and work off all that extra food that they ate the last couple of days.
That's a good point. That's good. There's a silver lining right there. All right, I tell you what, let's grab a phone call. I think Mike is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Mike, you are on with Nick.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Nick. I've got a 2017 Ford Focus. And last couple of days, I've been watching my temperature gauge. And when I'm driving, it doesn't want to go about above what I call the 1/4 mark, because you know you got 4 marks on the temperature gauge there. Wondering if this could be a thermostat issue by any chance.
That would be my first assumption. Also, thermostat is likely bypassing, meaning that it's not closing all the way, so the antifreeze can continue to circulate versus heating up. Now, eventually the car might warm up enough, but that would take a very long time. So you'll probably want to get that handled or repaired, because as the vehicle runs cooler, like you've seen at that quarter mark, it runs richer because it's trying to warm the engine up. It doesn't think that it's getting up to temp fast enough. So you want to have that assessed here in the next week or two, if possible, before you end up in a situation where you have no heat and or the car ends up being difficult to start.
All right, very good. Thanks, Mike. Mike leaves that line open if you want to chat with Nick, or in case you want to send a text. Again, same number, 651-989-9226. But don't wait. Nick is going to be with us for about another half hour from now. So if you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. We'll help you out as soon as we can. I was thinking, when all that snow hit and the terrible driving the other day, I wonder, and just wondering, of course I'm one of the ones wondering, if I should have had Lloyd's put on some new snow tires. You think there'll be a surge at Lloyd's this week for that?
Well, I think, you know, we didn't have much of a winter until a week ago.
Yep.
And then with the holidays, and I think then a lot of people had a unfortunate awakening. You know, there's snow emergencies and all these things going on all in short order, where a lot of people are now frustrated because they don't have any traction, or if their vehicle's been sitting for a few days now, it's been very cold. We might have people whose cars don't start. So being that it's Saturday and we have a couple of days, it's not only shovel out, but get your car running. You know, get it all scraped off. Make sure it has it fires up. You can drive it. Make sure it's going to keep working going forward, because if we let the car sit too long when it's this cold, that battery might deteriorate also, leaving you stranded.
Well, texter Nick wants to know, it doesn't say what kind of a vehicle.
That battery might deteriorate also, leaving you stranded.
A texter, Nick, wants to know, it doesn't say what kind of a vehicle it is, but the texter bought a new car, and the manual says they only have to change the oil every 10,000 miles. What is your opinion of that time frame? Or that
there are some manufacturers that have extended the oil change intervals 10,000 miles, maybe some longer. I know that the science behind the oil is much better. You know, the oil, the lubricants can last as long as they say they may, but a couple of issues I have, the filters don't get changed as often that way, so you're not filtering any of that fluid. And then this is Minnesota, as we've seen in the last week, we can be from 40 degrees to zero in a matter of a day or two, and that condensation, that moisture that's collected in the oil, you know, it becomes, not necessarily sludge, but a contaminant that will start to create issues within that motor. So we believe on a full synthetic motor oil, 5,000 miles is the appropriate interval based on our experiences, what we see, the repairs that we do, the leaks, the sludge, all these types of issues that we've seen over the years. So we've kind of stuck to the 5,000. Understanding the manufacturer might say more, but we think that that's a guideline.
I used to do, before synthetic, at least 3,000 with regular oil. But the synthetic, we can go, I agree. I feel good about 5,000 with synthetic.
One majority of the vehicles that are on the road that are new are all going to be synthetic. So the conventional oil is becoming phased out. But technology, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if we can get motor oil to last 5,000 instead of 3,000, that's a huge saving of its own.
Absolutely.
So we just don't want to push it, because I assure you, timing chains and all these mechanical issues that we see because of lack of maintenance can be avoided by changing the oil.
All right. Nick, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Linda in Bloomington has a question for you. We'll get to her on the horn in a moment or two. 651-989-9226 is your phone number, is the text number. If you want to ask Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive your car care question, we'll take this break. 16 degrees now in the Twin Cities, heading for 25 on News Talk 830. WCCO, stay with us. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stauffer, ASE's certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's? Where are you located on Grand, and how do we get in touch?
Well, we're taking the long weekend for the holiday.
Sure.
But come Monday, if you're in need, we're at 651-228-1316, and we're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway.
Easy to find, and I'll tell you what, let's do this. Before you leave us today, Nick, we'll get that phone number at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
In case, Nick will be here till just about 7:45, so keep that in mind. All right, let's get back to the phones. We promised Linda she'd be next in Bloomington. Linda, thanks for waiting. What is your question?
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
I have a question about remote car starters. I'm thinking of having one installed in my 2016 Sonata. And I'm wondering what's involved nowadays as far as how long it takes, you know, labor-wise. I'm wondering if the technology has changed since they first became popular. Is it all computerized or anything like that? So I just have a general question about how it all works nowadays.
Yeah, they have come a long way. There's even some versions that have an app that you can utilize your phone. So one less item to have in your keychain. But we don't actually install them here. We try to stick to the original manufacturer type repairs. But there's a lot of outfits around town. Do a little research online, find a couple local vendors, kind of vet them, check with neighbors and friends. But the remote starters have gotten much more reliable. They're integrated much better. There used to be a lot more wiring that was spliced into the vehicle, and that, a lot of that has changed also. So they're not as much of a worrisome that you're going to create a larger looming problem. So, like I said, I would get online, find a couple manufacturers, find some local vendors or people that install them, and kind of question them, you know, and ask some of your friends and neighbors, and that way you won't have to have a cold vehicle on the morning. You can remote it from inside the warmth of your home, and once it's ready to go, you'll be ready to go.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Appreciate the call. We have a bunch of text messages as well, Nick, so let's get to those. Here's one that says, "Hi, guys. Merry Christmas. My 2011 Equinox has a TPMS sensor. that needs to be relearned every time the dealer rotates the tires. I bring it back, and they fix it every time. They state they check the sensor battery, and it's okay. Texter has two questions. One, what would cause it to do that every time? And number two, I saw, where's it go here? I saw a few YouTube videos of people relearning the sensors by themselves without even using a TPMS device. What are your thoughts?
Well, we have a couple of those gremlins ourselves, and Dan spent several hours on one particular vehicle trying to figure out why, and I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, sometimes you change the positioning and you reinitialize some of these sensors, the computer and the sensor just are not mating properly. And there's a couple cars that it honestly feels like every time, every spring, every fall, if we rotate them for the winter season or the summer, that we end up seeing issues like that where they take the vehicle and they have to return for a visit, which is very frustrating, not how anybody wants to operate. But I don't have the great answer. I wouldn't start just replacing sensors just because. Hopefully, at some point, whatever the mechanism or the failure will at least cause that sensor to misbehave so you can catch up with the tool. You know, because obviously one sensor is losing its ability to store that information, or the vehicle can't store the information, or it's not communicating. But I wish I had a very good answer, and I don't.
Okay. Very good, Nick. Here's a text for you. 2015 Honda Odyssey, 45,000 miles. First thing in the morning, texter says, when it's 30 degrees or colder, I drive a half mile to a red light. After sitting at the red light for approximately 1 minute, when I first take off, the van feels like the wheels are slipping on ice, and then tires finally grab. There's no ice at this location. Do you think it's a sign of a transmission problem? Does not happen after the van warms up.
Well, that would be my first thought also. I would maybe try different, you know, a couple different things. Maybe let the vehicle warm up in the driveway for a little bit longer period of time, see if that truly makes a difference, or if it's a matter of that transmission fluid circulating. You know, if that needs to be pumped through the system and warmed up a little bit. If that continues to happen, I would say someone should take a look. Maybe as simple as servicing the fluid. Maybe it's gotten some contamination in there. But I would think with the scan tool on a cold start, now this is the part that you need to remember, you need to drop the vehicle off at the shop the night before so they can be the first folks to drive it in the day. But with the tool, hopefully there's some data there that will give them a clue to, you know, whether it's not engaging or slipping like they referred to. Hopefully we don't have a transmission issue because those can be costly. But I would set up an appointment, drop it the night before, and see what they can learn from there.
People ask me from time to time to ask you guys, you and Dan, about catalytic converters being stolen yet. Are you still seeing evidence of that?
Unfortunately, we are. I wish I had. it's frustrating because it's really sad. That's not the kind of business that anyone wants. We don't want to have people coming in because somebody created a theft issue or a problem. You know, these people are crawling under a vehicle in a matter of a moment, a minute or two at the very most. They can remove that that converter and they can take it and sell it for scrap, maybe make a couple $100, but it leaves us, the consumer, the owner of the vehicle, with a very costly repair, upwards of thousands of dollars, depending on the vehicle, maybe more. We do, and there's things out in the world that you can buy to help protect that from happening again. For like the Toyota Prius, there's some shields you can buy. Sometimes we'll get creative and try to weld in some cabling or some rebar as a deterrent. You know, there's no foolproof way to protect them, but if you can at least discourage them, or if they get under there and they see it's going to take them more than a moment, they may move on to the next vehicle.
Wow. What a situation.
It's really sad. I mean, we have cars here weekly where people are getting the cars towed in, and, you know, it's just a heartbreaker. Holiday season, and there's an extra money people don't have right now, and it's really unfortunate.
It really is. Wow. All right, Nick, we have to take a bottom-of-the-hour break to have a look at that forecast, which includes snow, and we have more show to come. Nick will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so, so we'll grab some more text messages and phone calls on CCO's Car Care Show here on News Talk 830. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show on this Saturday morning. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, filling in for Dan this morning. Well, Nick, as usual, we have callers, we have texters, and I know our time is limited, so let's get to it. Let's get to Carl's call. Carl is calling from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Carl, you're on with Nick.
Good morning, Nick. I have a question for you. Say, I have a little 751 Bobcat, and I was plowing snow with it Thursday, and for about a half hour, and all of a sudden it just quit on me and wouldn't start anymore. I'm just wondering what I could look for, what kind of problems that could be.
Is it a diesel or gasoline operated?
It's diesel.
Diesel? So I would think maybe something with the glow plugs, with that ignition, you know, it uses compression and heat. Obviously, see if there's enough fuel source. How old was the fuel that was in there? There's a lot of different places to check. And the difficult part is where do you take it to or how do you get it there? So I would, do a quick search online, put that particular model year in, see if there's some common issues that you can kind of pick through and try to get rid of the low-hanging fruit, they say, the easy items, and hopefully have some luck there. Otherwise, you'll have to find a place locally here to give you a hand.
All right, very good. Good luck with that. Bob sent a text saying they have a 2001 Yukon, lost the power steering, fluid is good, belt is on, have to use two hands to steer even at 50 miles an hour. What can I check?
Suspicion is if the fluid is full, it's not a leak, but I would suspect that the pump somehow failed, so it's not creating pressure. The way the system works is that the belt will drive the pump, circulating the pump, creating that fluid pressure that gives us the assist. So without any pressure, it's just good old-fashioned steering without any of that power. So you should have that looked at. We don't want to have, especially with the winter roads, an issue where we can't manage the vehicle. But my first assumption would be there's something wrong with the pump itself.
I remember something similar happening to an older vehicle that we used to have. Well, you were aware of that old white SUV.
Explorer.
Yeah, and I remember calling you guys because I was on 494, had to pull off because I lost my power steering. Well, that ended up to be, what is it, the serpentine belt? Is that what you call it?
Correct. If the belt were to fall off, it had the same example there. You would have no assist because the pump wouldn't be circulating. So it can be alarming for sure. You know, usually the higher speeds, it's a little more manageable because you're not turning the steering wheel as tight to make a maneuver. But on a city street, if you're trying to park, it can be almost impossible.
Boy, I should say I remember that. All right, let's see. This is a comment about what we were just talking about. My daughter's Prius had its catalytic converter stolen like many others this summer. Is there any way, well, you mentioned this, is there any way to prevent it from happening again? Do you like any of the prevention measures available? Thank you. That comes from Scott in St. Paul. Do those preventative measures work?
Some of the, because it's based on model years. I believe it's like 2003 to 2009 is the real sweet spot on a Prius. And a company, I think the name is CatShield, that we've installed. We feel that people, you know, they'll order them and bring them in. We'll put them on for them. They're riveted into place. It's a nice, large piece. They're good. You know, I mean, it's a one heck of a deterrent because you get under there. Now, you know, they got one of those battery-powered saws that they, I mean, I'm serious when I say they can make two cuts, like, you know, slicing a piece of a butter, and they're out of there in a minute. I mean, they don't want any, it's a very loud, audible noise, so they don't want any attention, so they want to get in and out before anyone realizes what's going on. So if they get under there and see this large shield cover in it, they just move on to the next vehicle. And hopefully they can find a way to make it so people can't sell these things. It's, you know, a lot of the repairs, the replacements, if they're not the original manufactured part or component, they're not of the same quality. On an older vehicle, probably not as much of an issue, but on a newer vehicle, you worry about the longevity and additional problems, and it's real frustrating. It really is.
Another texter says, as soon as scrapyards stop taking converters, the problem ends.
Yeah, then they can ship them somewhere. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, it's if there's a will, there's a way, and hopefully there's I would assume that there's an outfit or a group of people that are kind of behind this to some extent, you know, like scrap yards or whatever it may be, and hopefully we can find a way to discourage those people from continuing this.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. I think Tom was calling in from North Branch this morning. Tom, you're on with Nick.
Yeah, good morning. Say, 2007 Taurus. I have a gas leak. It quit. I filled up with gas, put it in the garage, and there was a puddle underneath there, you know, and I don't know, maybe the size of a football or something, maybe a foot and a half. Anyhow, I pulled it out. I put a piece of cardboard on, see, and kind of feel on to see what I could figure out. And all of a sudden, it quit. Now, I get the overflow and all that kind of stuff. Is there any kind of, this has been like a week ago, and now I don't believe in gremlins, but there was a gas leak that lasted about a day, and it was just a puddle, not running all over the place, and then it quit. And I was going to go have it looked at, and not, obviously I still have to, but I'm very nervous. Is there any kind of an overflow canister, you know, something where that gas could have been sitting, or it hasn't dripped in a week, so I don't know, you know, what to
think. I think you're right on. I would think, you know, the level. I mean, when you fill the tank, it gets to the highest point. If you're the type of person that might click the nozzle a couple extra times, which we discourage you from doing,
right?
Reasoning is that the evaporative system, the charcoal canister, there's solenoids and valves and hoses that you could end up getting liquid fuel into, which they're not designed to have that happen. They collect vapors, not fuel. So if some fuel makes its way into one of those items, absolutely can drip onto the ground and leave a little puddle. Now, there could also be something with the tank itself, the fuel pump where it seals up on top of the tank. If the fluid gets that high, it might have a little leak there. So you're right on. Someone needs to take a look. One easy way to do it is that we'll do a smoke test, where it's a safe way to introduce a little bit of very little pressure with a little smoke there, fill the tank up, and if there's anything that's not sealing properly, it's going to leak. So it's a safe way to say, yes, we have a leak, and here's the source. Now, the difficult piece is this is underneath the vehicle, so you're going to have to be patient, because to be able to find that requires flashlights and mirrors. Sometimes you have to remove some pieces to get a better look, so there will be some expense with it, but we're talking about fuel and safety, so you don't want to disregard or to blow it off. So even if you say, I'll keep it at a three-quarter tank or whatever it is, if there's still a potential leak there, it still could be dangerous.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. Very good. We're just about out of time, Nick. Let's see if I can grab another text or so.
Sure.
It says, what is the car? 2001 Mitsubishi Spyder. When my remote locks my car doors or opens them, I only get lights but no sound. Where is that located, and what is it involved to fix it?
So if there's if they're referring to like the audible setting where some vehicles you hit the button and the horn will beep or a siren will beep, a lot of times on a vehicle, and I don't know if this particular vintage, but there might be a setting where you can turn that portion on or off, or the lights flash, or different types of things. You know, or if it's more of an issue where the lock itself isn't operating, well, I would say operate the remote, check all the doors, right? But a lot of times, if it's the siren itself, there might be a short in that system. I would have to take a look, though.
Yeah, you'd have to do some detective work there. Well, Nick, we've got to run. Thanks. It's great to hear from you again. And how do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's if we need to?
Once again, if you ever need to give us a call, we're at 651-228-1316. If you're on your device or your computer, we're at lloydsautomotive.net. That's LLOYDS automotive.net. And if you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand Avenue.
Excellent. Merry Christmas again, Nick, and we'll see you there at Lloyd's.
Thanks, Kenny.
You bet. Nick Stauffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat next here on 830 WCCO.